kids. Thanks for joining us here today for the Twang Trust. Yes, it's the only show that brings you both kinds of music, scrambled and hard-boiled. And yes, today is a very significant historical day on the Twang Trust. Well, technically we're a day off, but who's counting? It was 10 years ago yesterday that Bruce Springsteen should have played Winnipeg for the very first time. He didn't, though. So wrap your legs around these velvet rims, strap your hands across this radio engine, fry up an omelet, get a mug of nog, and I'll tell you all about the egging here tonight on the Twang Trust.
Yeah.
Are you a tramp like that? I'm a tramp like that. Tramps like us. And baby, we like tramps. Welcome to the Twang Trust, kids, on a very auspicious evening. That was Brand Van 3000 and a cut called Speed. We particularly liked the little rap section in that one, for obvious reasons. Yes, welcome to the 10th anniversary of the egging. I can't believe it's been 10 years since the craziest week of my life. I don't know if you're hep to the egging. We've had it written up on the website for a while. There's a little story there you can go and read. I don't know if you've ever checked it out, but you can go to twangtrust.ca, and our homepage is kind of messed up still. I'll fix that someday. But if you hunt around for just a minute, you'll find a little picture of Bruce Springsteen in an egg, and it says The Legend of the Egging. And you click on that, and you can read every little gory detail about what happened 10 years ago. I guess it all started 10 years and a few months ago. But yesterday was the official 10th year anniversary of the day Bruce Springsteen was originally scheduled to play Winnipeg for the first time. There was a contract and everything. And I'll give you a quick little synopsis before we start this whole thing. And as quick as I can, it's a very convoluted thing. See, here's the deal. Now, of course, I've been a Bruce geek ever since I was like 16 years old, which was a long, long time ago. Too long to even get into right now. But yeah, I've been a freak for a while. And, you know, ever since I discovered him, I wanted to see a show. And it took me a while to get to a show. And it certainly didn't look like it was ever going to happen in town. So being an idealistic little kid, I took it upon myself to help organize a petition to bring Bruce to Winnipeg. This is going back to 1980 when The River was out. And me and a few other people sort of spearheaded this thing. Our old pal Rick, actually Rick was more involved in it than I was from the get-go. But there was a few of us, and we started this petition. I had it up at school. You know, I was still in high school at the time. I had it up there, and Rick had it up in his, and I don't know where else. But, you know, all sorts of people got involved, and City FM sort of came aboard and tried to help get it all done. And we did get a letter, you know, from Bruce's management. Yeah, but that's about all we got, really. We got a nice little letter saying thanks for your interest, thanks for your support, but we can't make it there right now, maybe someday. And, you know, what was that, 40 years ago? Some dang thing, 30 years anyways, and he ain't made it here yet. I tried the same thing in 84, and again, nothing. But, you know, I always kept it in the back of my head. It would be great if Bruce ever came to Winnipeg. I have to start going to other cities to see him. Wouldn't it be great if he came here, saved me the trouble for once, you know? But, you know, as time went on, I started to not really care that Bruce had never been to Winnipeg. In fact, it got to the point where I was so well known as the, you know, official geekiest Springsteen fan in the city that I started to dread him coming here, you know? Like, what would, you know, people would expect too much out of me if he came here, you know? Like, I'd have to be at the front of the stage going crazy all night long, and people would be watching me, and I'd just feel weird. So, you know, quite frankly, I was actually, by, you know, the year 2003, I was quite fine with the fact that he was never going to come here. But, you know, it's not like I'm the only Bruce Springsteen fan in the city. In fact, an old buddy of mine, a colleague, Kevin Donnelly from, well, you know him now. He's the vice president of the MTS Center there downtown. He controls that big building, and he's pretty much responsible for all the big acts that come to town. And he has been the number one guy for that for quite a while. I used to work with him at Night Out Entertainment back in the 80s and 90s. And he was a big Springsteen fan, too. He would travel to see Bruce. And, you know, he's been working tirelessly ever since back then to try and get him to town. And you know, once upon a time, you know, in 2003, he actually did it. Bruce Springsteen was scheduled to play Winnipeg. He was, the Rising was out. He was on tour. The plan was to do a full Canadian tour, start in Vancouver, go all the way to Montreal. And yes, Winnipeg was included in that tour. April 16th, 2003, Bruce was going to play Winnipeg for the first time. Now, it hadn't been announced yet, but there had been rumors running around for quite a while. And, you know, but I'd heard rumors before and, you know, stopped kind of paying attention to them, really. But it was starting to really build. I was hearing it from everybody. So I finally sent off an email to Kevin asking him what was up one morning. I remember the morning quite distinctly. It was in January of 2003. And, you know, Kevin's a pretty big, busy guy, but he emailed me back, oddly, real quick, you know, which was, it was kind of odd, but I couldn't believe what I read in the email. He said, "Stu, it's finally happening. I've done it. I've finally done it. It's going to happen. Bruce is coming to town." I couldn't believe what I was reading. And he said, it's going to get announced in the next couple of days. It's going on sale right away. It's finally going to happen. We're going to see it happen. And you could just tell how excited he was from just reading this email. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I did my little happy dance, did a little Yahoo. And literally seconds later, and I remember it was seconds later, I remember looking at the time. I wish I'd kept these emails. I didn't, but I wish I had, because the second email I got from him came less than a minute later, and it had quite a few expletives in it. I can't say them on the radio, but he said basically, you know, something to the effect of OMG, the show is off. I gotta see what I can do about this. So, you know, you went literally in the span of less than a minute, it went from a show to no show. And later on that day, I found out the full story. It turned out Bruce was still doing the tour. It was still going off. However, for whatever reason, I never did find out what the reason was, if it was a halfway decent one or not, but the show in Montreal at the end of the tour had to be moved up a day for some reason. And, you know, they were able to move the show in Ottawa up a day as well, which left 3 days, which seems like a lot of time to me, 3 days in between Edmonton and Ottawa, where Winnipeg was supposed to happen. But the powers that be felt that, you know, well, gee, it is Winnipeg and it is April. Who knows what's going to happen? And look out your window. Look what can happen. They were scared, you know, we'd get a freak snowstorm and they'd wind up in Winnipeg and they wouldn't be able to get the trucks with all the gear to Ottawa in time. And, you know, that was a more important market than Winnipeg. So they decided to scratch Winnipeg. You know, that left them with 3 open days they could fly home, spend with their family. You know, I mean, Bruce and the band are old farts at this point. 3 days off in the middle of a tour is a, you know, is a good deal. And I understood that. And, you know, I mean, as much of a bummer as it was, you know, in my heart of hearts, again, I really didn't care that much. You know, I'd go to the Alberta shows. I'd have a blast. It'd be fun. Whatever. And I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, having to put on a show in my hometown. So that was fine. But as it turned out, that day happened to be a Wednesday. I was doing this here show, the Twang Trust, that night. I had to talk about it, obviously, and, you know, put on my disgruntled face. And I just, off the top of my head, made a goofy joke while I was here on air saying that, you know, Bruce's trucks are coming to town, but Bruce isn't. I think we should get out to the side of the road and egg the trucks when they come through. It was just that simple, off the top of my head. And that was that. And I came home, and, you know, the next morning I got a few emails from some friends who had heard the show. I said, "Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny what you said about egging the trucks. Yeah, we should do that. Ha ha." And the more I started thinking about it, the more I started laughing at my own joke. And it was a slow day, so what do? I sit there at the computer, and I write out a fake press release from Bruceness Productions, Bruceness being the name of a fanzine I used to put out back in the 80s. I did two issues, one in 80, one in 82. And so I made up this fake press release about how Bruceness Productions was going to be putting on a day-long festival at the side of the Trans-Canada Highway, and we were going to have John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band and Arlen Gale, who was a guy, supposedly, it was Mike Appel, Bruce's first manager's, it was his first act that he managed after losing out on Bruce Springsteen. Arlen Gale and John Cafferty, we were going to have them playing live, and the whole day was going to culminate in egging the Springsteen tour trucks when they came through. And, you know, if you don't know, Arlen Gale isn't even a real guy. It's just a pen name that Mike Appel had. He doesn't exist. Anybody that knows their stuff knows that this whole thing was a joke, right? But I just sent this out to friends and stuff, and, you know, just for fun, this Thursday morning. Well, by the next day, my life was upside down. The first thing that happened is one of the guys I sent it to was Rob Williams, who, you know, music reporter extraordinaire. At the time, he was working for the Winnipeg Sun. And he called me up and said he thought this was funny. He wants to do a story about it. And can he send somebody down to get a picture of me? So, I mean, this was a little weird. I mean, obviously, this wasn't a real thing. You know, I mean, my brother is a police officer. He's going to be the first guy in line to bust me if I'm at the side of the road throwing things at traffic, for Pete's sake. But, I mean, it's just a joke. I thought, well, hey, let's play along with this. I'll get some listeners to the radio station, maybe, you know. New listeners, that's always good. So I played along, and the photographer came and took a picture of me with some eggs, you know, making mean faces at a Bruce poster, and we wrote up this funny little story, and I thought it'd be great, and, you know, we'd get some notoriety for the radio station here. And the next morning, there's the article, page 2 of the Winnipeg Sun. There I am with my eggs. But the thing was, the article, there wasn't a whole lot of the whole parody aspect. It sounded like I was pretty serious about this whole thing in the article, which was, you know, it made me look kind of dumb, quite frankly. But what are you going to do? Still, it was a joke. It's the Winnipeg Sun. Who cares, right? Well, the next day, this article gets picked up by the wire service. By noon, people all over the world are emailing me the latest account of this crazy Canadian guy who's going to egg Bruce Springsteen's trucks. It made it to the entertainment section of every newspaper literally across the world. My favorite thing of all throughout the whole thing was a website from somewhere in Estonia. And all the characters, it was all written out in Cyrillic characters that, you know, you can't read unless you're Russian. Well, there were a few words that a Westerner could read. There was only 4 words in this entire article that was about the egging. And those words were Bruce Springsteen and Stu Reed. I mean, that was a pretty cool thing to see. But, and Rolling Stone even wrote me up on their website, the whole bit. I started getting phone calls in the morning from morning zoo radio shows in Idaho. It was an insane couple of weeks, folks, let me tell you. But as insane as it was, we lived through it. Eventually, the shows happened out in Alberta. I went to see them. We came home, and we did what I originally intended at some point, was that we would have sort of a mock War of the Worlds style egging here on the Twang Trust. And that's what we did. And we're going to revisit that tonight here. We're going to play some of that original broadcast from 2003. And we're going to augment it along the way with bits and pieces of what we're going to call Winnipeg Does Springsteen. Yes, some of our favorite Winnipeg homegrown artists covering Bruce Springsteen. We're going to hear from the likes of The Fuse, The Geek Street Band, Del Barber, Dan Frechette is in here. Who else is in here? Ruth Moody, of course. We played her great new Bruce cover last week. We're going to play it again this week because it's so fabulous. We're going to hear all that stuff and much, much more. And, yeah, so get ready, kids.
Can't see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. Far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up with your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising tonight. Left the house this morning. Bells are ringing, fill the air. I swear to cross of my calling. There's a fire I can roll down here. Come on up for the rise. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rise. Come on up for the rise tonight. La 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 la.
Welcome to the Twang Trust. Yep, we are on the streets of Winnipeg here, coming to you live on location today for the first time. First time we ever done this here. We got the remote CKW truck set up. And yes, we are waiting for Bruce Springsteen's tour trucks to come by. Of course, if you didn't know, Bruce is in the middle of a Canadian tour right now. He played Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton. Edmonton was night before last. And this Friday, he'll be playing Ottawa. That's right. He goes all the way from Edmonton to Ottawa without stopping. Yes, I don't know what you've heard about this whole situation, but don't believe any of it. It's all coming down tonight. I just got back from Alberta myself mere hours ago, just this afternoon, and I was out there finding out what I could to find out exactly when the trucks are passing through, and I have the information. Now, unfortunately, I can't divulge our current location because I just received word that that in fact the truck drivers are monitoring this broadcast right now. They are being very wary. They do know we're out to get them, but they don't know where we're going to be. So we're having to keep that secret. But we do have just fabulous gang of folks down here ready to fire off our disgust and disdain about being passed over once again by the boss. It's just ridiculous. But what are you going to do? Yeah, you can hear, there's some rowdy kids right there. They're getting their eggs ready. They're still a little ways away. I'd say, well, we've got probably an hour or so to go before the actual trucks go, but we will be ready for them. And also on tonight's show, we're going to be talking to Canada's latest teen sensations. I hope they're not en route back home already, but there's a group of kids that were out in Alberta. And they were actually at the Fargo show, too. You might have seen them if you were there. And a fabulous bunch of kids from Saskatoon we're going to be talking to. The Saskatoon Jumpers, they're calling themselves. But we're going to talk to them a little later in the show, hopefully. But at the moment, what time is it? Well, it's boss time.
Yeah. Peg, this is Frank Turner, and you lucky people are privileged enough to be listening to All Bruce all the time on the Twang Trust, CKUW 95.9 FM.
I bought a scooter and I rented a shack out in the sun by the railroad tracks. I got a job and it's bringing my back. Working, working for the big payback. Sam Long did faded down the track. Got your neck in the news, your hand behind your big, and I'm a wiggy, 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 motor big baby. All right, wiggy boy. My boss is all day long, man, I don't know. Throw me a wrench and says, go, mojo, go. All day long, he does a did a whack, whack, while I'm working, 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 motor big baby. Well, it's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Damn, look out there, long dead and training down the track. Got your neck in the news, your hammer, and you're big, and I'm a wiggy, 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 gonna be big. All right, yeah, I'm a wiggy. I'm a wiggy in the hot sun. I quit the job, miss, I ain't going back. I got a nerve, it's a long black. I went to Alice late at night, night. Working, 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 working. Well, it's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. God damn, look out there. Down the train, down the track. It's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. God damn, look out there. Down the train, down the track. Got your neck in the news, your hammer, and your big. We'll be right back.
Well, there we go. Local music here from Winnipeg. The Fuse. Or was that the Six? Or actually that was the Big Beat. That was Jeffrey Hatcher and the Big Beat. Before the Fall. From their compilation album they put out a number of years back. Trying Must Count for Something. Yes. They were known as all them names. Back in the day, the Fuse was the first incarnation back in the late 70s, and the Fuse was actually the very first band I ever saw do a Bruce Springsteen song live. And they were so cool. They did Fire, and that was before anybody even knew that was a Springsteen song. Of course, everybody knew it as a Pointer Sisters hit. But Dave Briggs and Jeff Hatcher were cool enough that they knew it was Bruce, or Robert Gordon, for that matter. And, yeah, that was the very first time I saw a Springsteen song performed live. 1978. Yeah. Before that was Mojo Nixon and Skid Roper from their first record. Self-titled, we heard them doing The Big Payback, Bruce's B-side to Open All Night. Yep. And what did we start off with? I can't even remember what I'm playing. I'm not keeping track of nothing. Oh, it was Bruce himself, wasn't it? Doing Ramrod from the Live in New York City record, yes. And he did that one out in Alberta just this past weekend, Sunday and Monday, Calgary and Edmonton. And both shows he did the big Extendo mix version with Roy on the piano doing this boogie-woogie thing, and it was quite awesome. But yes, we're waiting here by the side of the road. You can hear traffic going by, can't you? Yep, we're waiting for Bruce's trucks. Edmonton was Monday night. The trucks are on their way to Ottawa. We're egging the suckers. That's right. The plan right now is to spell out Winnipeg Rocks on the side of one of the buses in eggs. That's the plan. We've got our marksmen standing by. Don't we, marksmen? Yay! Yeah, see? Those sounded like marksmen, didn't they? These guys are rowdy, let me tell you. And we got a lot of eggs, and a lot of them have been sitting around for months at this point. I wouldn't want to be that truck driver, let me tell you. I'm hoping this truck driver isn't too big. I don't know, most truck drivers I've encountered throughout my life could pretty much beat the crap out of me. But we do have numbers on our side here today, so hopefully it'll all work out.
Anyway, Bruce Springsteen wrote this song. I'm driving in my car, turn on the radio. I'm pulling you close, but you just said no. You say you don't like it, but girl, I know that you're a liar. 'Cause when we kiss, fire. Well, late at night, I chase you home. I say I wanna stay. You say you wanna be alone. You say you don't need me, but you can't hide your desire. When a weak kiss, fire. You had a hold on me right from the start. It felt so good I couldn't tear it apart. Got my nerves all jumping like a fool. All your kisses they burn, your heart stays cool. Romeo and Juliet, Samson and Delilah. Oh baby, you can bet the love they didn't deny. But your words they split, but your words they lie. Oh, 'cause when we kiss,
Thank you very much.
And you're downtown and underground with the Twang Trust on CKUW 95.9 FM.
They blew up his house too. Out on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a hell of a fight. Gonna see what those racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade. The gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth, yeah. Everything dies, maybe that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, get your hair all pretty, and meet me here tonight in Atlantic City. I got a job and tried to put my money away, but I've got debts that no honest man can pay. So I drew what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us 2 tickets on that Coal City bus. Everything dies, maybe that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, get your hair all pretty, and meet me here tonight in Atlantic City. Come on now. Everything dies, maybe that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies, someday comes back. 1, 2, 3, 4. For a job, but it's hard to find. Around here there's just winners and losers, and don't get caught on the wrong side of that line. Well, I'm tired of coming out on the losing end, so I guess this year we're gonna make this the best fun drive ever. Woo! All right. Everything dies, maybe that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, put your hair all pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Sing on, man. Meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Come on and meet me. Come on and meet me.
Oh yeah.
All right, folks. This is called Dancing in the Dark, and I wish I wrote this one.
I get up in the evening, but I ain't got nothing to say. Come home in the morning.
Hey folks, this is Corblun, and you're listening to Both Kinds of Music on the Twang Trust, CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg, country and western.
Welcome back to Real Time. Winnipeg does Springsteen. That was Mr. Del Barber. They are recorded right here in the CKW studios when Del came to visit us on the eve of doing his Bruce shtick on New Year's Eve at the Park Theater. Yep. Before that, more live from CKW Music. That was the Geek Street Band doing Atlantic City. Yes, the Geek Street Band, Winnipeg's own Bruce Springsteen cover band. They came on, they played twice on the show. That was during Fun Drive a few years back. They came in, did Atlantic City. And we started that set off with The Fuse live at the Norlander Hotel in 1978, if you can believe that. Yes, Jeff Hatcher, Dave Briggs, and gang doing Bruce's Fire. How about that, huh? Yes, we are here celebrating the 10th anniversary of the egging. We gave you the rundown at the top of the show. If you missed that, well, go to twangtrust.ca and look around until you see the little picture of Bruce in an egg that says The Legend of the Egging. It's all there. Every last gory detail has been written up in that story. You can find out what the heck we're going on about here. We will rejoin ourselves 10 years ago in just a few moments. In fact, we will be interviewing some kids that I met in Alberta. It was actually the second time I've seen them. I've seen them in Fargo when Bruce played Fargo on the Rising Tour a few months prior to Alberta. And they were the greatest bunch of kids imaginable. I don't explain it really well. When we go to interview them, there's some things we're talking about that might seem kind of nebulous. There was an incident in Calgary at the show there. Now, here's the way these things work. Like the Rising was, I believe, was that the first tour? Yes, that was. I believe that was the first tour that Bruce did where the floor was general admission. And when the shows first started, you really didn't know what was going on. They did announce, and it was, you know, widely known that there was a thing they did called the pit, where the first 300 people in line got into the pit, which was a little cordoned off section right at the front of the stage. And if you got in there, you got a wristband, and it